Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
It's Wednesday evening, so it's time for our weekly Spring Watch slot with Trinity zoologist and host of the Critter Shed podcast, and that is Collie Innes. Collie, you're very welcome to the programme. I think this week we're going to look at three migratory birds, which always fascinate me, I must say, which have already started to arrive here on their summer holidays from Africa. We're looking at swifts, swallows and martins. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think we should be calling it the summer watch now, because we're well into the summer now as far as nature is concerned. Once you see the swifts, the swallows and the martins arriving, that's really time to celebrate the summer.
Really, yeah. Okay, we're getting away with it for this long anyway, so let's keep going. So to the untrained eye, Collie, how do I tell them apart?
Okay, so yeah, they all look very similar, and that's down to a thing called convergent evolution, which basically means that animals that do similar things look similar, like sharks kind of look like dolphins. So these birds all look very similar because they all like to catch insects on the wing. If you want to tell them apart, swallows are the ones with the long forked tails, and they have a red patch under their chin. Mm-hmm. The swifts will be darker and have a boomerang shape to their wing. And they have a white patch under their chin. And the house martins have white bellies and a white rump.
Okay, well described. Let's have a listen to them as well. So if we hear them, we might see them coming. This one is the swift.
Yeah, you can hear that shrill cry there. That's a real distinctive swift cry.
Okay, so let's see if the swallow sounds any different.
Kind of sounds like a budgie.
yeah, actually quite different. And finally, the house martin.
My kids say that they sound like R2-D2, so that's how I kind of tell them apart when I'm listening.
You could tell them apart, could you? I wouldn't be able to know.
Yeah, I'm now my birds aren't my forte, but I'm getting my ear in for them. So yeah, you can kind of tell them apart. And when you get used to it as well, you can just hear them screeching and chirping overhead and you know who's about.
Yeah. Isn't the journey they make every single year fascinating, Collie? So they're coming from Africa. Now, Africa's a big place, but where would they have been or likely to have been for the winter in Africa?
So the swallows are down in southern Africa, but the swifts and the martins are in the tropical regions of Africa. And basically what they're doing is they're going down there to follow the insects. At the time of year when they go down during our winter, the rains are happening in Africa and there's a lot of bug activity, which is great feeding for them. And then on the opposite scale of it, when our summer comes in, there's lots of bugs and insects rising up over our pastures and fields, and that feeds them up and gives them a great opportunity to rear their young.
So they're following the food, kind of, is that it?
Yeah, it's a seasonal switch. Now, in the olden days, before we were here, there would have been forests and places for them to nest naturally in cliff faces and in old woodpecker holes, places like that, in trees. But because we've changed the landscape, they've become really dependent on nest sites for ourselves. And most of our nest sites now for these tree species are around human habitation. And with the change in how we are tidying up our houses and making sure there's no cracks in the wall, that's really affecting their numbers, because the spots where they would have habitually nested in and historically nested in are just disappearing.
Mm-hmm. That is really sad, isn't it? Reading about swifts, Collie, and I don't trust myself that I recall this correctly, but is it true that they can go really long periods of months, almost a year, without ever landing?
Yeah, they can go for 10 months, at least 10 months, and maybe more without landing. They really are completely aerial creatures. Like, they'll even sleep on the wing. They go into a kind of a standby mode, fly up really high and just glide around to just to rest their eyes. They mate on the wing, they feed on the wing. When they build their nests, they are collecting debris like feathers on the wing that they make their nest out of along with their saliva. So swifts really are a completely aerial species, bar the time when they land to lay their eggs.
Yeah, which is amazing, isn't it? And I believe there's a swift which is believed to have flown 4 million miles in its lifetime. It's
yeah,
kind of bamboozling, 1960. Isn't it?
Yeah, 1964 they found them in Oxford. It was ring. So you ring a board, it gives an identification, so it can be, you know, recorded and monitored over its lifespan. And they reckon this one was around 18 years old. So I mean, such a small little creature to cover that distance is really incredible. They're kind of, I really think they're underappreciated. They're amazing animals.
Well, they are, because they mate on the wing as well, don't they?
Yes, they do. It's hard to imagine, but a lot of bird species, the mating is quite brief. It's called a cloacal kiss, and it's very brief. So it's not like they're stuck together flying upside down or anything. It just happens quite quickly, yeah. And it's done and dusted.
They're just riding high, isn't that it? Come here to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Come here. I know that you weren't with us last week because you're moving nest yourself. You're moving house.
Yeah.
But I know as well that you have spent 16 years working on your garden assiduously. Now, I'm not like that, and I can't imagine how you felt leaving the house.
Yeah, well, I love nature, obviously, and I lived in Talla for the last 16 years, and I converted our garden over that time from a fairly plain back garden into a, you know, a wildlife friendly garden, including 5 ponds and you know, hedgerows and everything that goes with it. And it was fairly traumatic for me to think about leaving it. But fortunately, the people who have moved in contacted me via email and were looking for all the advice on how to maintain the garden, how to look after the wildlife, how to look after the frogs and the newts in the pond and the insects, hotels, all that sort of stuff. So it was a real weight off my shoulders. And the bonus is now I'm out in Wicklow and I have a lot more space to work with. And funny enough, the first 2 residents I spotted in our new home were 2 house martins that are nesting under the eaves. So a bonus and quite appropriate given what we're talking about today.
You can take that as a good sign, Collie. And you can tell the new owners of your previous home that to tune into the Critter Shed podcast and they'll get all the info there. Look, Collie Innes, as usual, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. And the best of luck with the new house.
Thank you very much.